Hey, this is Matt Groening, welcoming you to episode 4F18, In Marge We Trust, first broadcast April 27th, 1997.
And I'm Steve Moore, the director of the show.
I'm Yardley Smith, the voice of Lisa Simpson.
David Cohen, I was here for the commentary before this and the one after, but I had nothing really to do with this one. I'm just too lazy to move.
This is Donna Carey, the writer of the episode.
Josh Weinstein, executive producer, show runner.
Hi, I'm Alex Rocco. Roger Myers Jr. is my character, creator of Itchy and Scratchy, and I'm here for the free lunch.
Now, I want to say about this episode, I hadn't seen this in a long time, probably since it aired, and I nominate this for one of the very best episodes of this season, and certainly maybe one of the most underrated ones, too, because I think it works on all levels of being really funny, but also one thing that we really set out to do in Season 8 was start to explore the secondary characters, like you've heard me blab on the other episodes. And this one, we wanted to explore Lovejoy, because up to this point, you know, he's a funny character, but he was somewhat, you know, a little one-notey, two-notey, where he always seemed like the priest who didn't care, but he seemed also sort of a little depressed, maybe. And this episode goes a long way to explain Lovejoy, but it also contains my single favorite sequence ever, which is Mr. Sparkle, which we'll get to.
And this was the first thing I ever wrote for the Simpsons. I had just started there and was like, oh, what am I going to get to write? Something about Homer, Bart doing something crazy. And Bill and Josh were like, we want to do Marge's Crisis with Faith. I was like, oh, that'll be fun.
Yes, it's always a test. You give the new guy the Marge episode.
Because she gets out of bed fully dressed. Who thinks of that stuff? That's great.
Simplified.
Our starting point, the 9 tenets of constancy.
This is the first lull you guys are talking about.
Well, it's a lull in the church.
Well, Lovejoy reads his lines very slowly, so we have to make them very short, too.
We can do some very slow commentary.
I love that Lovejoy has a real world-weary quality about him.
The three hilarious B stories with Bart and Homer were cut out to make room for this Lovejoy.
That's right. Well, Lovejoy, Groundskeeper Willie, there's certain characters that take are hard to write and take a lot of effort as well, but then it pays off. Now, this coming up a sequence that when we were doing this, we were pretty young, and Homer was older than us, and we thought always a hilarious middle-aged guy. But now that I'm actually older than Homer, I can relate to when I get home, one of the first things I really want to do is take off my pants. It's got nothing to do with sex or anything. It's just I want to take off my pants because I'm old and they're encumbering me. I like these episodes because I can relate more as the years go on.
That's one of the great things with getting your first house is you can walk around in my underpants.
Well, it's very difficult to animate people stepping forward and taking off their clothes. It took a lot of work. I can't remember which
season. Well, get ready for season 18. That's all it is.
What a world.
It's crazy.
It's great.
You know, and one interesting thing about watching these episodes now and looking on the internet, too, is you realize, like, I mean, we were living it, but there are people now who are the big fans of a show who were just little kids when this first aired. And so, like, this was one of the first big TV shows for them. And it's very weird because you can notice when certain episodes we did, when they aired, certain episodes were unpopular, like Homer's Enemy or Two Bad Neighbors. But now the people who are younger and growing up, that's one of two of your, like, favorite episodes, and this one as well. So it's interesting that there's, like, a generational slip in what people like, which episodes people like.
What do you attribute that to?
I think it's I don't know.
I could propose a theory, because at the time that they first air, they may be episodes that are a little more different than what people are used to. But once that 10 seasons later, there's more things have been tried, and they're within the bounds of what people are ready
so
to
do. So more familiarity say. And...
Familiarity with that.
Well, also, right. People tend to like the first things they see, and then that's the high mark at which they measure everything else, and it's not as surprising later on. So it's really tough. I mean, one of the reasons why, you know, why is Homer so stupid? Why do we exaggerate the characters as the history of the show goes on? And it's because we can't repeat ourselves. We have to keep surprising the audience, so the stuff gets extended.
Now, do you want to talk about the origin of Mr. Sparkle?
I guess it's a little confusing. I know the dump thing came out of... I grew up on Nantucket Island where we did go to the dump, and there was a lot of dump picking, and there is still something called the... Mattaquette Mall. They call it the Mattaquette Mall there, where people go and pick, and it's a big scene every Saturday and Sunday, and it's kind of sad. But anyway, that sort of came out of that. And then we were like, what if Homer's face was on a box? And we just started writing it, and we're like, what does it mean? We don't know. And as we got closer and closer to actually having to deliver a show, we finally figured out the mystery.
Right. It was a good explanation that it's Japanese, because Japanese culture is so crazy that that explains it in part.
Right. Well, someone brought in a tape of a bunch of crazy Japanese commercials, too, and we got really excited.
We spent a whole day or afternoon watching one Japanese commercial after another for inspiration.
This would have been very hard to get any work done if the internet existed the way it does now when we were writing this, because the research for commercials would have gone on and on and on.
Oh, sure.
The 60s were long over, and people. We had a bunch of those ones with American celebrities also who did Japanese commercials like Madonna and stuff.
But now I love this sequence because this is starting to explain. You know, Lovejoy was once a guy full of excitement and love of life, and then something happened to him, as we'll see.
Yeah, make the characters' histories really rich. Like, we find out how Barney got to be a drunk in an episode, and that he used to be incredibly brilliant and was headed for Harvard or something, and then took one drink and it was all over. Stuff like that. You guys are so clever at it. And so I love when you do little flashbacks like this.
And this is basically just Flanders happened to him.
Yeah.
The
earlier version had Lovejoy taking over the church from Jasper, and that was written out.
Really?
After Animatic. I always liked that part.
What's really cool is going to Europe with a Simpson jacket, and you see another Simpson jacket, you don't know that person, and then somebody, you lay it down and somebody's trying to scoop it. I mean, that's how humongous.
Well, this Mr. Sparkle, too, like, took on a life of its own. I know they had shirts at Urban Outfitters, and...
Yeah, you can get them on eBay. Yeah. I can't believe no one's actually introduced a Mr. Sparkle product.
Matt?
I'll get right on it. Well, they're official Mr. Sparkle apparel?
I assume. They were at Urban Outfitters, had just his face with the Japanese writing.
They also have Mr. Sparkle ear fresheners.
I was really excited because I was like, hey, I wrote that. I'm buying one.
Yeah. Like, the Mr. Sparkle shirt.
We make so much money off of people who work on the show.
I always tell the artist, don't buy your artwork back. You're operating at a net loss there.
It is like the company store. Like the first time, when I first started working here, I went to the first of the annual or biannual sales where they sell cells. This is like a
the animation
they sell cells to the employees at a slight discount. And I was, I don't care how much it costs, I'm going to buy 9 of these or whatever. I had buyer's remorse for a decade after that.
Yes, people would run in because they'd open the doors and like, I'm going to rifle through all the cells, and people had a giant handfuls of cells, and $600, that's worth it because it's got the crusty on it.
Well, I used to actually on eBay buy Simpsons merchandise of stuff that I'd never seen before because I just wanted to see it and have it, and I thought, someday I'll do a big... retrospective museum show of Simpsons crap. And it's
someday.
All sitting in storage. I go in there and...
So that day hasn't come yet. That's
no,
all.
It hasn't come yet.
Oh, no, Vince, we had great actor. Now, that's Hank doing this voice. But we later, for our Japanese commercial, we had Getty Watanabe.
Long Duck Dong.
Who was our... he's one of our idols, our comedic idols from when we grew up watching 16 Candles and stuff, and Sob Shimono, and they were a huge delight to work with. And also because Getty Watanabe is one of these guys, he's not embarrassed about crazy characters he's played, and he would do the donger for us, and it was a thrill, and he was a real gentleman.
That was almost more exciting than
very talented.
Yeah. More exciting than U2 or the Rolling Stones was like, really, the donger's coming in?
Right, more than 10 Super Bowls wrapped together. Was the presence of Getty Watanabe.
How come you guys haven't done something about The Godfather on one of these shows? Don Corleone.
Dad would do it right now.
I just said I did to, you know, be a big shot. Well,
yeah, there was always confusion about this because there was a show where it seemed like Lenny did have a wife, but
I know,
but
and
since
then suddenly
he hasn't had a wife.
Well, maybe they got divorced, and we just don't talk about it anymore.
Well, we also mentioned Lenny's greenhouse, and there's some other interesting aspects. But then what's good, most of Marge's suggestions are very good, but her suggestion about Carl, if you think about it, doesn't really work so well, because Carl's going to show up for dinner, and he has to eat the whole dinner before he brings up the idea of Lenny's wife. So, hope someone got fired. Oh, now, this becomes one of my favorite sequences that I've never seen before, is the comedically long, long-distance dialing sequence, that each dial is very carefully placed for comedic effect.
See, now, presumably, the Japanese phone book would be in Japanese, but Homer seems to have no trouble reading it.
And they have the okay, right? They have
well, it. It's true. We left it deliberately vague. I didn't want to bug Josh with questions.
You know, because it would be up and down, too, right?
Exactly. Not right.
The numbers would be in English, though.
You think?
Yeah.
Once while I, this is a confession, once while I worked at The Simpsons, I took a trip to Taiwan, to Taipei, and I was trying to make some arrangements from work, but they wouldn't let us make international calls from our office phones, but I discovered that the phone in the kitchen would let you make international calls, so I made literally several calls to Taipei from the kitchen phone.
Which is why the show's still operating at deficit.
Now, this is Getty Watanabe.
Who may I say is speaking to me?
Hello, Chief. Let's talk. Why not?
Hello? Why am I Mr. Sparkle?
Oh, you like Mr. Sparkle?
Well, I am Mr. Sparkle.
Oh, you have many questions, Mr. Sparkle. I send you a premium answer question, 100%.
I like the sort of 70s decor of the church of Springfield.
It is. It's a very realistic sort of... A little depressing, but realistic style church.
Yeah, frozen.
That you get
time.
The feel of sitting in a long, boring church service.
One at a time! Now, who has the most urgent problem?
I have a recurring dream in which I'm falling.
Oh, well. Come right.
It's easy to get sucked into the episode. I was like, oh, I'm actually enjoying the show now.
But Mel is the perfect guy to have in a crowd to come up with an important point he must make.
I think this is where we see St. Donicus.
That's right. Now, are these real saints? I can't remember if we looked up real saints or just looked up, they're sort of, besides St. Donicus.
Yeah. We know he's a real saint.
Right. Working on it.
I think we looked up saints with good names for this.
Also, I have to say, there's a great sound effect here that Travis worked in, where it's a sort of like echoey, heavenly style hum behind the saints that's really cool, that you can't hear because I'm blabbing. But
hear it? I hear it.
Visions, and that's the lamest reply I've ever heard.
That's Dan doing that.
I thought saints were supposed to be friendly.
You're just lucky God isn't here.
That saint looks like he's wearing a Star Trek The Next Generation outfit.
But what I like is it's a crisis of faith for
Indeed.
Love joy. And if
it's
I get
play on words,
gets his
God
roof
isn't
back.
Here.
Yeah, God isn't here. That's beautiful.
Yeah, that's a joke that I think a lot of people don't
Oh, I love
get.
It.
He's just been playing with his trains all afternoon.
I think this is one thing we did here for the first time with Lovejoy in his trains.
That's right.
There was that flashback.
That.
We just had the really tiny set.
Right. Yeah, that's because we loved it. It's so perfect for anybody like myself who loves HO model trains. It's perfect for sort of a lonely, sad man.
So
to
solitary.
And, yeah.
You have a train set?
I used to have train sets, but now I just build HO scale models.
Really? Because
I can control my own little world.
Josh bursts in the house, rips off his pants, and starts building models.
Am I allowed to describe that one you built of the big water tank, or is it?
Oh, okay. Okay.
It's got little monkeys climbing all over it, as I recall.
I like to take HO model figures. This is so boring. I take HO model figures, but juxtapose them in ways that the makers of train sets never imagined. Like you could put monkeys on a gas.
That's cool. I like that.
Interested in distributing Mr. Sparkle in your home prefecture. You have chosen wisely. But please.
Now, this is Sab Shimono, who's a great actor.
Also, mostly in English for Japanese buyers.
Yeah. But
we put a great animator
this
on this.
Oh, that's funny.
And this is all real Japanese. That
who did
and
that?
And whose voice is that? Because that's not Dan doing the voice of Mr. Sparkle. Who is
I
that?
I think it's Sab Shimono.
Yes.
That's cute.
And if you ever see a Japanese commercial, they really are crazy like that.
And so is this a conglomeration of a different Japanese commercials that you watched on that tape, or is it...
It was sort of inspired by all of that.
Yeah.
And then we all started pitching crazy, nonsensical phrases. Get out of my way, all of you! Things like that. And somehow they blended into this.
When I went to Tokyo a few years ago, there were Simpsons billboards all over the place advertising the soft drink, and that's how the Simpsons were known.
Really?
Yeah, as less for the show, but more as promoting this soft drink.
And in Japan, do they dub Japanese voices to the show, or do they do subtitles?
That didn't explain anything.
I actually, at one point, we had to listen to audition tapes for actors doing the characters.
How did you know what you were listening to? How did
That's sort of... That's showbiz. We did not know.
Now, this solution...
This was...
It's a brilliant solution. Was it...
I think it was George Meyer. And this took hours and hours of, like, how will this end? What is this?
It was a real case of sort of writing by the seat of our pants, or your pants, where the solution was not worked out until it was written.
Well, because it's kind of a visual solution, so it involves a lot of doodling and stuff. And by the way, my presence here is not... 100% pointless, only 99%, because I can see Matsumura Heavy Industries, or that's named after my friend Ichiro Matsumura.
So it was George Meyer who came up with the ultimate doodle.
I think the final idea of blending the two was,
I think that's correct,
was George.
Well, it's funny because when we, on our How to Draw the Simpsons things, we actually deconstruct Homer into a light bulb, and David has actually done drawings of Homer as a fish, just kind of to show ways for artists, different ways to visualize how to construct the characters. So it actually was quite easy for us to fit together. Pardon me?
You guys did that before this episode.
Oh, yeah, on the first season.
Wow.
So if we had just called you, we
could have just called
us.
We should have called you.
You'd have had it in like 20 minutes.
I like that sign in the background, left-handed gear shift, only three ever made. That's funny.
Now, this is, I love the animation on the mini bikes is so good and fun.
When the writers have an assignment to do, how much time is there that it's due in? How does that work?
Between, like, they'll come up with a story, usually to pitch it to the executive producer, and then usually the whole room will sort of map, pitch it out. And then you had what? Did you have, like, 3 weeks per draft?
Yeah, you actually had a long time on your outline. Like, you usually had like a full week to do an outline, and then the whole room kind of weighs in on your outline. And then I think it was 2 full weeks to go do your draft.
That's, and one reason why the show is so good is you have 10 months to rewrite until you're crazy. And most, like, live action shows, they have like 1 week to write the whole episode.
Because you bring that draft in, and then the whole room weighs in on that, and then you send it off, and it comes back, and you get to weigh in again, so you get a lot of chances.
That part's quicker than, obviously, the animation takes, from what I understand, what, 6 months or something?
10 months, right?
Yeah, it's about 10 months.
And the writers get a crack at it through that process, too. You get animatics in 2 months later, and...
Pretty much all the way up to the end, really. I don't remember who animated the mini bikes, but I'm sure there are very good artists who are doing something very important to them.
That's a great joke.
What was the light? It must have been a joke there at some point. Car starting up or something?
I think that no one ever...
We forgot to pitch on that.
Yeah. Also, look at that price of gas. We are all laughing now.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Donnie's Discount Gas!
I love how they know that.
Thanks for swinging by the house, Reverend.
tied up in a neat bow.
I also like that apparently Marge has some relationship with Donnie. Like, she's used him before for information, the way she's acting.
To the one right across from the zoo.
Reverend Lovejoy is still driving the same Carmangia that he drove when he first took over the church. Just a little more beaten up.
Right, which is a reference to the... Did he drive a Carmangia in the garage?
I thought it was a Carmangia.
See, now that's a great line. I'm sleepy, let's go to school.
It's very real.
That's clever.
I was just thinking of that.
And this was the thing, like, as dangerous as doing a story about Marge's faith, we knew we had baboons and Flanders being chased around at the end, so you can't get too boring.
And you have manatees, which you bring back in later episodes, one that just aired in season 17.
That's right, bonfire manatees. Now, I have to say, like, this works really well, and I'm really glad that we went for a big, crazy action sequence and not a quiet meditation on faith, because it really works, and you understand, he gets the brimstone back.
Jumping kangaroo rats!
Which, of course, remember somebody asked us when we used to do the live readings of The Simpsons on stage, somebody asked us about what our obsession with monkeys is, and here we are again.
It is. Everybody likes monkeys. They're like funny humans that are okay to kill, I guess.
You should put some on an HO model sometime.
That's a
smart baboon. I tried to make it animal-like.
Steve, there's a lot of fantastic animation of like that's really complex little things going on.
It's fun to kind of coordinate all these things, and hopefully they came out in a good way. It was hard to make the baboons still behave baboon-like, but do something like I'm going to take this rock and do something complicated and human-like like that.
That's genuinely serious.
I remember you in the room. You really like that.
I do. I still, every time I see it, I jump and I smile.
Conflict upon conflict.
That's right.
Reverend Lovejoy has his Bond moment here.
Right.
He throws the bolt at him.
Callous March.
Really went above and beyond. Thank you.
Oh, don't thank me. Thank Marge Simpson.
That's Harry having a conversation
with himself.
Not caring about people.
Amen.
But it's so brilliant to think, you know, he does it without a breath.
Now, this is I love this sermon, and it has some of my favorite lines, like, two hairy footballs, which I think was George.
Throws up at me, but biff, bam, I sent them flying like two hairy footballs.
Do we ever see him just animated again? No pun intended.
The acting was pretty simple because we just had to do the opposite of how Lovejoy usually behaves.
Exactly.
Which is, he's like excited here. Normally he's bored and deflated.
I love that.
Thank you, everybody.
Great show, you guys.
That's
all right, yeah, great
that
show.
Is so good.
Nice work.
Frank Welker.
Frank Welker as the baboons.
As the baboons. He is the man for animal noises.